Do you think may be the bearing of this change of policy?
Ed, I think that the practice that you're following this year is really an ideal one. You have on your staff competent critics, competent artists, artists who recognize the best in American painting. These members have gone to various places in the country to select outstanding examples. They bring those examples back here. The group is formed. The exhibition is shown. They have an opportunity to study these paintings. And I'm sure that this period of study and evaluation will have a tremendous effect on their final recommendations. I have been on juries, national juries, and I've had the problem of having to assist colleagues in arriving at a decision in regard to prizes, awards. Sometimes, I'm sorry to say, those selections had to be compromises. It was not a unanimous selection, and I'm sure in this instance that you will not have a unanimous selection. But you have a period of study here, and familiarity with these things. Then there's a second point, and I think equally important. Of course, your faculty members will have in mind truly significant works of art as they reflect the American artist of today. And secondly, as the educational value of these paintings in relationship to your students, your state, and your community. Those two factors will enter into it. In addition, you have already started a very fine collection from the past two shows, and there are certain factors that will be taken into consideration there as you round out this collection. All in all, I think it's an ideal plan. If I had the privilege of having a similar exhibition at Georgia, I believe I would adopt such a policy as this.
We're also having a popular vote, as you may recall, and we're asking people to indicate the things they think are the best in the show, and even asking them if they'll take time to put down the 10 they would have picked. Now, I wonder what the significance of that is in view of the fact that so often the pictures chosen by popular vote are not the ones the artist chooses. Nick?
Well, I think this is a very good time, Ed, for us to finally ask you a question, since you are running that popular vote and have tabulated the votes and have even made notes on the comments.
Now, Nick, we promised not to put him on the spot.
I think you have already made some mental notes as to the significance of this popular vote.
Well, it seems to me to show that definitely the people, and I mean the intelligent people, of course, all more or less intelligent, but I mean the people who are interested enough to go to shows and to really try to see what's in them, that even they often don't seem to go for these, well, really highly abstract things that are so artistic that they don't mean much to people. Now, they all say, what does it mean? I get a lot of this, too. Well, you do, too, I think, in gallery tours. Does the painting mean anything? Do the things that the public selects, that is, the things that are recognizable, do they mean less than the others, the abstract ones, the patterns and the like?
In other words, you feel that the public still hates to do a little studying of these pictures. They want
That's
to get
an important point,
the
Nick, that you're
thing.
Bringing out. Mm-hmm. That's an important point that
they'll
you're bringing
out. They'll go right
out.
By a picture in 15 seconds and expect to get the entire meaning of it, the entire significance, and you can't do that.
Well, don't you feel, too, that the ones that they see in a hurried trip through the gallery are oftentimes the ones that are very obvious?
Mm-hmm.
And though
mm-hmm.
the first impression may be important, and it may be good, that over a period of time that painting will not wear well.
You're hinting, then, that if we all went back and went to the show three or four times, we'd begin to like the more highly abstract
so.
One. Does that
Absolutely. Add? And I wish there was some way of educating the public to stop them from finding meanings in pictures that are non-objective. For instance, there's a painting down the gallery now called Definitely a Couple, and it's a very rectangular, narrow picture with two vertical lines with a few horizontal rectangles on it. And it's the title, mind you, is very misleading. Definitely a Couple. And I've seen people come before that picture and start finding realism in it. One of them said it's a couple, newly married couple, walking down a boardwalk in Atlantic City. Now, it's impossible to get that kind of a thing because I'm sure the artist had no such intention.
How about Brad? What do you think?
Well, I think that's an indictment, in a way, of our own group of artists. because I think maybe we're making a mistake in titling that kind of
a
picture.
Yes,
I think that we are bringing criticism on ourselves by putting titles on non-objective paintings that are misleading.
That would have been much better if it was called Study Number 6 or something.
But do you think people would look at it? After all, I mean, we're brought up to see meanings in pictures. I mean by that actual literary meaning, storytelling and the like. If you call a painting 290, I gave a talk the other day and somebody referred very slightingly to painting 290 as though, well, that's just a joke. Will people look at it? Will they look at all to find any kind of meaning, either purely formal or of a different type, if we don't give them a title?
Well, Lamar, I personally feel that if a picture has meaning and the structure that we've been speaking of, that it's a much better picture than one that just has the structure.
I do too. I agree with you.
And it's possible to have a good painting with both those elements working.
But there is also this chance, and let us recognize it, sometimes that the element of imagination enters into it. In other words, that meaning may be translated. As Dr. Ray brought out a moment ago, the visual image is something that we've come to respect and yet it demand in painting. You know, even with some of these pure, cool, calculated abstractions as we see them, if we could come to understand them, and knowing some of the artists as I do, you find that they started out with an idea. There is a meaning there, but we have failed to grasp that meaning.
I sometimes wonder if we ever will, if we don't do a little of it. For instance, I doubt if I would know very much about literature at all if I never tried to write a letter. Now, Brad, you're in that. Don't you agree with me that if people are going to understand these things, we're going to have to do a little painting ourselves?
I think to some extent that is true. I have a personal prejudice against art appreciation courses as such and named such that do not include some experience of some sort with the materials of the arts. And I feel that a certain amount of learning takes place and a certain amount of, sympathy for the arts is developed through an experience with art media.
We're all artists and had experience in teaching, that is, you three are. Mr. Dodd, what do you think of that?
I agree with Brad on that, and this may interest you. I have been teaching a course recently, Brad. It was called Art Appreciation. I just like the title. We changed it. I don't know a better title, but we changed it to Music and the Visual Arts. But this course is designed specifically for students of the College of Arts and Sciences. Every student within the college has to take a course. And believe it or not, every student demands some participation in the art.
Good.
And it's an experience that is not an end within itself, but from the standpoint of an understanding and what it does to the individual, I think it's unparalleled.
Well, now you're talking about art in general education, aren't you, Mr. Dodd? Those aren't going to be specialists.
No, those are not going to be specialists, but they're going to be your laymen.
Mm-hmm. Well, I wonder what you all would think of a statement made by one of the artists in the show, however. I happened to get a letter from her asking for a comment, and she says, I think there's a lot of fine painting being done at the present time, but I'm afraid the easy standards of amateurism are becoming a threat. That was made by Virginia Cuthbert, who did a very delightful picture of her graveyard. Actually, it is pretty, even though the subject is a little macabre. Now, do you think there's any validity in that? Perhaps if we have all of these, shall I say, well, people like myself, sort of people dabbling in it, we may be interested in our own stuff and really won't go any farther to the more profound kind of thing.
Well, I think there's a big difference between a hobby and a professional pursuit of the art. I do think that now, according to Ernest Watson of American Artists, more art books are being sold than ever before, and more people are painting than ever before. And I do think we're going to have to set up standards to show the difference between a hobby and a serious professional approach to the work.
We're not going to have to set up standards. Those standards are set up, aren't they, Nick?
Well, I think we're a little more lenient about it.
Yes, they're timeless. I think that from the standpoint of the amateur working, I think it's wonderful to have these people working art as a hobby. But let us recognize the fact that there are limitations to that. Freakishness and all of that, of course, enters into the picture. But you compare some of those things that you see by the amateur with some of your more serious attempts and by the professional artist, and in short measure you'll see the difference, I think, between the two.
Do you believe that the public will gradually begin to understand that difference? If they do have this,
I think that they are. I
think
that what's happening right here, you people have had 3 years of experience with this show, and it's very evident that tremendous growth has taken place in the past 3 years with this show right here with your public. Talk with any of them and see.
Well, I think that popular vote is indicating that the taste has definitely become more searching in painting, that Charles Raine's Far Away isn't a bad painting at all. It's very ably done, and although it is realistic, I still think it's a good painting and the public likes it.
But do they like it because of those basic qualities, or is it because of the realism?
Well, I hope they like it for both.
Well, that's a difficult question to probe into, although I would like to point out one comparison there with Far Away, that the picture, if analyzed carefully for its compositional elements, is almost an abstract, and it could be changed into an abstract composition with a very few brushes.
That's true. So could a Vermeer.
That's right.
Yes, in point of fact, he has gone through an abstract phase. I dug that up in studying his career. And at one time he painted, I think, rather cubistically. And I've also wanted to think that perhaps it is these underlying factors you point out that's one of the reasons why people like it, as well as the more superficial resemblance to actual things, and the suggestion, perhaps, of a kind of a poetic comment, a content, not a very, very definite sort, however. Well, I think that the points you brought out are good. I really believe that the show has become better appreciated by people, and I think that we people are changing rather than the show. Some people think it's really almost conservative this year. And I want to leave it on that note, that I think really, as you've indicated, if we look hard enough and try hard enough and perhaps get a little training in art ourselves, that may be eventually the much-sought flowering of the arts will become an obvious reality. Thank you very much.